You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone, welcome back to Ravens Weekly. We're here for yet another instalment this week. That being myself, Matt Hall, and Josh Tindall, the man who joins me on these podcasts and quite often in the press box nowadays. Josh, how are you?
Very well, Matt. We're in the playoffs. So.
We are in the playoffs, so what could possibly be wrong with any of us?
Exactly.
It's been brilliant, hasn't it, this week, Josh, just from being around the club and... You know, you've just got such a good vibe around at the moment, yeah. Across the whole club. You know, you get people walking in to buy something in the shop, or people coming into the bar and the youth teams, and everyone's just commenting. Even the emails and phone calls we're getting, everyone's congratulating us on getting in the playoffs.
And there's also a belief that we're going to do it.
There is a belief, and there's a good feeling, isn't there? But, Of course, we have to take it one game at a time, and we're going to talk about our next game, which is not quite the playoffs, but will help to determine who we face in the playoffs a little bit later on. Now, let's get started then for today's show, and we're going to look back at the weekend's visit of Chesterfield to Hayes Lane. Now, Josh, on the face of it, this was a really difficult game, wasn't it, going into against a side that were in such good form. I think they'd just beaten Torquay 5-1, and the way the first 25 minutes went in the game, I thought it might be a long afternoon, but I was very wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Chesterfield are a good team, and obviously going into it, they wanted that third spot. So it's third, isn't it?
It is.
It's third. So they're obviously going head to head with Woking, and obviously winning that one would have given them a massive boost, and yeah, probably would have pretty much cemented their place. So, yeah, they were up for it. And like you said, in the first few minutes, I thought we were going to be in for a long afternoon, but we weren't.
No, we certainly weren't. And the rest of the match, as they say, the rest is history. Bromley really turned the game on its head. And Andy Woodman's got a couple of theories in his mind as to what sort of flipped the way the game was going on its head, because it all seemed to happen very quickly. And Josh, we talk about goals. It was a special goal to open the scoring.
An absolute beauty.
Billy Bingham only scores good goals.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he's. I don't think I've ever seen Billy score a scrappy goal. It's either a long range goal or a nice team move that's been capped off. And he said it himself. He doesn't get many, but when he does, he likes to do it in style, and he certainly did on this occasion. You just couldn't have struck that any better, could he?
No, and I think people thought that it deflected in as well, but I don't think it did.
No, it didn't.
It went all the way.
I mean, from where we were sat, the thing that kind of cast a bit of doubt into our mind was the goalkeeper kind of didn't move, and he was preparing himself to dive, and then he didn't. And then you saw the ball move on its way to goal and change direction, but I think that was when it came off the post, actually, because it did go in off the post, didn't it, which... Actually, makes it even more of a well struck effort, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the alternate angle that we posted, I think you could hear the ball coming off the post and hitting the net, and that was
it's a gorgeous satisfying. Noise. It's a gorgeous noise, isn't it? That
it's a proper nerdy thing to.
It is, but we are nerds. We are, and it's just I could listen to that all day. Yeah. That will send me to sleep. Actually, yeah. If I'm struggling to sleep, I might try and listen to that.
That's a bit too far.
I said we're nerds. anyway, moving on then to after that goal, we had a brilliant opportunity to double the lead inside the first half. And before we get onto that opportunity itself, Corey Whiteley, it is just one piece of outstanding play.
Yeah, he pretty much ran the whole length of the pitch and obviously won us the penalty. But yeah, he's what a player.
Absolutely brilliant bit of play. And I mean, the corner wasn't great, but actually I say that. And if Corey wasn't there, the pass probably would have made it to the other Chesterfield player, and the ball is then played into the box.
That's why he's always there. Like, even when we're attacking corners, Corey's always the one furthest back, because obviously if we get hit on the counter, he's got that pace to chase down defenders. And the same when the opposition take a corner as well, we've got Corey's pace, and that's why he's always the furthest person forward, so the ball falls to him and he just, yeah, he pelts it.
Yeah, he's there, isn't he? And it was just a brilliant run, and you could tell at that point that Chesterfield were on the ropes. I think that Chesterfield defence, as solid as they were, and they are very solid and organised, they couldn't really deal with the pace of Corey and a couple of the other players, Corey in particular. And he won the penalty. Up stepped the ever-reliable Michael Cheek, looking for his 16th of the season, and unfortunately hit the crossbar.
Yeah.
Wasn't to be.
No.
But do you know what? Even at that point, with that penalty being missed, I wasn't worried about us losing the game, or in fact not winning the game, because we were playing that well. And you know, you said it to me on the day, you know, whatever Andy said at half time worked, because we came out, you know, really quick out the blocks in the second half. It looked like we'd just carried on where we left off, and quite often you see that the half time break is actually and it's something that you don't really want when you're in that position, because you're in the ascendancy and it gives the other team a chance to regroup and get back into it. But it didn't happen at all, did it?
I mean, the thing is as well, it's like they've obviously, you've got to have that thing in the, like, I know Andy keeps saying we have to take care of ourselves and whatever, but you've got to have that thing in the back of your mind that if we concede, Chesterfield are going to be up for getting that winner, and you never know what's going to happen at Eastleigh. And if Eastleigh score, they won't know that they've scored, but you've got to have that in the back of your mind that it changes so quick, and you've just got to give it everything in that second 45.
And you and I were talking before the game, and we said, I said to you actually, I'm going to try not to worry about what's going on elsewhere, just worry about what's going on here. That was either a lie or, it just didn't happen.
No, it never does.
Because mainly due to Dan Bentley being on his phone during the commentary.
It's not professional.
It's completely unprofessional.
He shouldn't be on his phone.
He's not here to defend himself, to be fair. And you know,
he's not here tomorrow.
There will be a hearing over this. Trust me, Dan, if you're listening. But we were saying we won't look at it, but we did, and it kind of made it all the more nervy towards the end. And then there was just a section of the crowd in the North Terrace that started to cheer, kind of 5-6 minutes before the end of injury time.
Yeah.
And that was when you knew, and we checked and confirmed that Eastleigh hadn't won. Southend had won, but it didn't really matter.
No.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, the results definitely fell in our favour, and obviously we did the job at Hayes Lane as well, and yeah, happy days.
We talk about the job. That was helped by the fantastic support on the day. Over 3,800 of you at Hayes Lane, which was absolutely outstanding support. And Andy,
big turnout.
Yeah, it is a big turnout, and Andy will refer to that later in his interview, but that makes such a difference in terms of the atmosphere, doesn't it, Josh? And it was really good atmosphere that day.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those games where you needed everyone behind you, and that's what happened.
Two other people who were getting behind the team at Hayes Lane were Nick McDonnell and Adam Greenway, two former Bromley players who came down together to have a look at how things had changed since they were last down. Of course, Adam a bit longer ago than Nick, who made a return in the 2013-14 season for a brief period. And I remember him coming on against Hayes and Yeading United. We won it up. We just conceded. It was 1-1. And he came on, and within a couple of minutes, probably his first touch of the ball, he's got the slightest flick on a cross in. I think it's from Albert Jarrett, possibly. Some of you might remember him listening in, and he got the winning goal. Super Nick McDonnell. What an absolute legend. Josh, you had the pleasure of meeting Nick for the first time.
I did, yeah. He joined us for a drink in Broomfields. He's a top guy. But he said that he could still do a job for us.
I think he could still do a job. What a player he was. Oh, just brilliant. Just brilliant. But it was really actually quite emotional to see Nick come down and take in the surroundings. And you know, just look at how the club's changed. And of course, there are a couple of bits that haven't really changed very much. But for the most part, you know, it looks a lot different to what it was when Nick was with us here last. And I remember that time very, very well and very, very fondly. So it was lovely to see Nick and Adam, and they stayed for a long while after in Broomfields. And hopefully they'll come down a bit more now. It was nice to see, you know, Nick in a club legend, and Adam as well, to come down and watch and get behind the team in what was a very important game. And hopefully they enjoyed, well, we know they enjoyed it because they were one of the last to leave out the bar at the end. So that's always a good sign. Anyway, the other thing was Barry Evans.
Yeah.
Now, Barry is going to join us as a guest on next week's Ravens Weekly podcast. But what a wonderful send-off for a wonderful man. And we'll talk to him in more depth next week. But it was all put into place. Well, people across the club came together to arrange this. And, of course, those of you who aren't familiar with this story, Barry has been supporting Bromley for 77 years. And he has been home and away and just back the team over such a long period of time. He's now moving down to Cornwall with his wife to be a bit closer to some of his family. And although it's not a goodbye, it's more of a farewell. He will be back to attend the odd game here and there. But of course, it is quite a long way, Bromley from Cornwall, isn't it? So it's Barry's last game as we know it. And I think the level of support Barry has given, it was a wonderful send-off and it was well-deserved. And actually, Josh, you were privy to his little visit to the dressing room, which was a really special touch.
Yeah, that was... So when we interviewed Andy last week, I know he mentioned that there'd be a little surprise for him before the game and that we'd be able to share it. And yeah, he invited Barry into the changing rooms to meet the players about an hour before kickoff. So Barry came in with his son and yeah, just sort of explained their early memories of supporting Bromley and sort of, yeah, the history of his long-term following of the club. And yeah, I think a few of the players were quite inspired by it.
Well, whatever he said in that team talk clearly yeah, worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it must have worked.
Well, maybe he's got, you know, there's potential manager in there.
Do you know what?
Barry Evans.
We said this about Roy as well. I think we should just have managerial team of Ravens Chat.
Of Ravens Chat members, 100%. I think that would be entertaining. I'm sure there'd be a few other names, not mentioning any of them, wanting to get involved in that. But in all seriousness, there's a picture, Josh. My favourite picture is Barry walking off the pitch with all the crowd behind him, just giving a round of applause, and it looks like a manager walking off the pitch.
Yeah, shout out to Martin for that.
Yeah,
photo.
Honestly, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And Barry is such a gentleman, and I can't wait to have Barry on the podcast next week. And we're going to learn more about his experiences over those 77 years following Bromley.
Yeah.
And yeah, really, really excited for that one.
Yeah, he walked the team out, and all the Ravens Chat members were
flag bearers,
suit and tie, which is Barry's.
Barry's typical wear, isn't it? He's always, this is what I said on the PA on the day, he's always impeccably dressed. You will never see Barry looking scruffy. It's always a polo or a shirt and tie. Absolutely outstanding gentleman. And I met his son, Nick, as well at the awards evening on Tuesday. And that was a real pleasure as well. Nick was really appreciative of what the club had done. And I just said to Nick that we were really appreciative of Barry and everything that he'd done and his continued positivity and towards all of us. And we look forward to seeing Barry next week on the podcast. And of course, the next time he's able to get up to Hayes Lane and watch Bromley again. Now, we've got a bit of a controversial one here because that was Reece Charles Cook's, in my view, 12th clean sheet of the season. He disagrees.
I disagree as well.
Go on.
He played a good chunk of that York game before he got sent off.
A good chunk being not even the full first half.
I think we give it to him. 13 clean sheets.
But then are we seen to be rewarding someone who's been sent off?
Do you know what, Matt? I think the season Cookie's had...
Oh, he's been outstanding.
I think we can let that slide.
He's been outstanding.
So, Reece Charles Cook, if you're listening to this on the way to Oldham, which you probably definitely not, we're going to give you 13 clean sheets.
When he gets another one at Oldham.
The Press Association probably won't, but we will.
No, I have to say, I'm in the 12 camp here. Cookie, I love you. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Cookie.
Matt just sticks with the stats.
I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Nah.
Cookie's a legend, but I'm sorry. I can't. I just can't do it.
Yeah, but okay, right. Okay, so this is my point. So if Michael Cheat scores on Saturday in the first 5 minutes, gets sent off on the seventh minute, that goal will still count.
That's true, but then that's different to a goalkeeper because we lost the game 3-0.
No, justice for the goalkeeper. I hate to say it,
partly as a result of Cookie being sent off. Actually, probably mainly as a result of that because we had 10 men for most of the game. I'm sure we could talk about this one all night. According to Josh,
13.
He's got 13. And I'd love to give it to him, but there's just something inside me that can't. I'm really sorry. I don't want to upset anyone here, especially not Reece Charles Cooke. He's one of the happiest blokes I've ever met.
I think you already have.
I have.
We're all in the
I tell you what, Cookie, don't we? I tell you what, I will back Cookie in anything.
Just
but this.
Not when it comes to clean sheets.
No, he's... Not when it comes to clean sheets when he's been shown a red. Because we missed him in that second half. Big time. Bez tried his best, but Bez is not a goalkeeper. We missed Bez in defence and we missed Cookie in goal. Anyway, moving on to something we can definitely agree on. That was, of course, Bromley's equaling of the record points total, Josh, in the National League, which was 70 from the 2017-18 season. But that could all change tomorrow. A draw or a win, and it's a record set.
Yeah.
I feel quite nervous now. I feel like there's a bit of pressure on us. We've got into the playoffs, but...
People are talking about tomorrow's game like, oh, it's a free-for-all, you know. We'll just play a bunch of 17-year-olds. But it's not. That's not the case. Like, we still want to finish sixth. We still want to break that points record and obviously carry on that momentum going into the playoffs. And I think tomorrow is a big game just for different reasons.
Well, it's like you say, there's not only the record points at stake, but it is finishing sixth, and that'll be a record sixth place finish, wouldn't it? Because the last time we got into the playoffs, of course, we finished seventh and unfortunately went out at the first hurdle. But genuinely, if we finish sixth, we go into a game against Barnet, who we've played recently and we're more than matched. Yeah. And we've got to go into it with confidence.
Yeah. And personally, I think we'd be better suited coming up against Barnet than Woking or Chesterfield.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, Chesterfield are playing Maidstone, aren't they? Yeah. So you would expect Chesterfield to beat Maidstone. And because Woking lost earlier in the week on Tuesday, that has done Chesterfield a favour, really, because now all they need to do, really, is win against against Maidstone, isn't it?
You never know.
You just never know. This league is nuts.
Yeah.
This league is crazy. So anyway, there's more than just pride at stake tomorrow. And what we've got is two supporters coaches travelling to the match. Coach one is sold out, but there are still spaces on coach two. If you'd like to join us when you're listening to this, check out the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and book your space. Come and join us. It's a 5:30 kickoff, remember. So you can join us on the coach, 10:30 depart, £30 return. It's a great value.
I'm going to completely forget that it's not 3 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, you're going to be up early doors. Yeah,
half two.
Yeah. Why haven't I got the team news yet?
Yeah.
Who's playing?
I keep forgetting. Cheers, BT.
There we go. It's going to be a late one getting back, but anyway,
it'll be worth it.
I'll worry about that tomorrow. Actually, on that note, as we move on from just first team matters for a few brief moments.
Yeah.
We are back at the High Street Fest in Bromley High Street on Sunday. We're there from 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, actually, I'll be there a lot earlier, but you don't want to come and see me put tables and gazebos up, really, do you? But we will be there, and we're starting at 11 o'clock. We're there till about 5, 6 o'clock. And come and see us. Come and say hello. We're going to have some merchandise available, all kinds of things. You know, we'll have an inflatable activity going on for the younger ones. All the older ones, if you want to have a go, we're not going to stop you. But yeah, really, really enjoyed the last High Street Fest in association with Bromley Council. And I'm really excited for Sunday. So do pop on down and say hello if you're around. Moving on then, and something now of a bit of a shout out to one of our office team, the brilliant Harriet Redmond, our events coordinator, who joined the club a few months ago, ran the London Marathon on Sunday. Absolutely incredible. I don't know how she does it.
Commitment.
Dedication. Training. Sorry. A lot of training. We were just kind of sat there just thinking, that is, like, I couldn't even.
We can't even run a bath.
No, well.
Let alone a marathon.
Honestly, hats off to Harriet, who was raising money for charity.
Yeah.
I'm just in awe of her. She brought her medal in on Monday as well. Yeah. So we all got to hold the medal, and it's a beautiful thing. But I think what matters more really is the impact that you're making on charities, and also, you know, proving something to yourself.
And she's been training for ages as well.
She has, yeah.
Like, the hard work she's put in, I'm like, yeah.
Well done. Well done, Harriet. That is such an amazing thing to do. And everyone at the club is very, very proud of you. Well done.
Woo!
Do we not have a jingle for that?
No. So I've just had to do that.
We still
Copyright,
need to.
Right, Matt. In this day and age.
We still need to get canned applause and canned laughter.
I know.
You keep saying you'll do it.
It's because my laptop got.
Oh, yeah. Your laptop did get erased. Yes.
Not in any dangerous way. It was intentional. It was to free up storage.
No, I need to do the same, I think. My disk is nearly full as well, so I need to start deleting some things. But anyway, people don't want to know about our IT problems, really, do they?
It's a Friday night, Matt.
It is. I know this is very exciting, you know, with what's going on. I've also got a problem with my screen, if anyone's interested, which you've seen as well.
It's a big problem.
It's quite a big problem, yeah, and I've worked with it for about a month now, but... if anyone gets any emails from me that don't make sense, that's why. But I think I've done quite well, actually, so far. But anyway, moving on then. And on Monday, Josh, we launched our new club membership scheme.
We did.
And something which has gone down very well is your video and your wordsmithery, I must say.
I'm a poet.
You are, and it was outstanding. And Thank it you. Was an honour to do the voiceover for it.
Well, we obviously had the audition process and you were coming up against some really good competition. But
some big names, actually. Yeah. Some really big names.
I decided, you know, you're the voice of Bromley, aren't you? So,
well, there were some big names from the voiceover industry for the audition process. And actually, I left thinking, I'm not going to get this
Felt
gig.
A bit like Simon.
Yeah, you enjoyed that, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
You enjoyed
big
that.
Big red buzzer.
Yeah. I think I got the golden buzzer, didn't I, actually? Well, yeah. I must have done because I got the gig. Anyway, the video was an absolutely outstanding way of promoting it. And, you know, you've had a few people come up to you and say how much they appreciate it. And actually, a few comments even saying it brought them to tears. Incredibly wow. moving stuff, Josh. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. And you as well.
Thank you very much. Now, as we stop paying lip service to each other, the actual main point behind this is the fantastic prices, $197 for an adult. Of course, last year's season ticket prices, absolutely incredible and a steal, really. But I think a lot of people have expected them to go up a lot more than they have. They are brilliant prices. $197 for the adults, $157 for the concessions, and $97 for the under-16s. It's brilliant to see. And I know the uptake already has been really, really good. Lots of people purchasing online. Lots of people coming into the club shop as well during the day to purchase theirs and also over the phone. So if you would like to get your season ticket, reminder, those prices will only be in place until either Bromley get promoted on the 13th of May, should we get to the playoff final, or if we do not get promoted... the 1st of June at 5 p.m. So make sure you make the most of these discounts and these fantastic offers that are going around. Josh, there's been a lot of positivity from the supporter base on this announcement. It was it went down well, didn't it?
I think, and I'm going to look at this from a supporter point of view, I think if a club puts season tickets on sale for £97, you sort of expect the next season that the price is just going to shoot up. And I think people were pleasantly surprised that it was still at a reasonable price. Especially considering we could be playing in League Two.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's part of the beauty of this offer. You just don't know. It's quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of a little bit of a lottery aspect in it as well. we could be in League Two. We could be in the National League. But whatever league we're in, it's great value. And of course, the beauty of it as well is it's not just a season ticket. It's a membership. It gets you entry into the under-23 games, into the women's games.
Yeah.
And 15% off in Broomfields and the Jim Brown Club shop, as well as 15% off event hire. So
it's good.
It's a whole new approach, and it gives you a lot more for your money, for your membership.
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously with how the women's team and the 23s have been doing the past couple of years, it just means that you're not paying that extra £5 or whatever to go to these games, and you know that we've had games where you can watch the 23s on a Friday night, watch the men's team on the Saturday, women's game on the Sunday, and it's just knowing that you've paid for that and it's a reasonable price and that's all included. It's just turn up.
Well, that's absolutely right. And the other, keep saying really good things because there are so many good things with this membership option. We've got an installment plan.
That's good as well.
So if you'd rather spread the cost across a period of months, it's 9 months, isn't it?
Yeah.
That it's spread across. There is an installment plan available to you, which again is a new option for supporters who'd rather not pay for it up front, which is completely understandable. You can spread that cost via direct debit across 9 months. There's options there for you. Go and have a look. BromleyFC.co.uk. Take a look at Josh's brilliant video. And get your membership. Get your membership for... your head's not going to get out the door at this rate, is it? And get your membership. Get behind the boys for next season, whatever happens for the remainder of this one.
Because if we don't go up this season...
Yes, I know what you're thinking.
There's a good chance.
Oh, there is. But, of course, we're going to go up this season. So, yeah.
True.
As Roy Oliver would say, everyone's a winner.
When did he say that?
Says it all the time. Huh. Especially when he's trying to sell you something like a golden goal ticket or something like that. But we'll get on to Roy in a moment. Tuesday night, as we've alluded to, was the awards evening for the men's and women's team for the 2022-23 season, sponsored by Shepherd Neame. It was a real pleasure to host the event that night and see everybody, and such a good turnout, such a good attendance. And what I really love about these awards evening is the players sit on tables with the supporters and with people coming to watch. And it's really nice to see that supporter engagement from the players, who are all fantastic human beings. It was a fantastic night all round. We had some brilliant guests coming on to present awards. Josh, would you like to run us through the winners for this season?
Well, let's start with the landmark achievements. And the first person who went up and collected their award was a certain Louis Dennis.
Louis, I remember the day when he walked in to this club and making his debut away to Dorchester in 2014. They were bottom of the league. I think we were top at the time. We lost 3-2 in the last minute. Louis came on and scored on his debut, and we lost in the 90th minute. Long ball over the top. The rest was history. But we still went up the following season, so can't complain too much.
Legend.
Absolute legend and absolute top man as well. Well done, Louis.
And we also had Tanya Holly, who made 150 appearances for Bromley Women, and Byron Webster, who hit 100 appearances.
Tanya said it feels like it's been a lot longer than 150. And to be fair to her, it feels like she's been here longer as well. But congratulations to her. She's been an instrumental part of the women's team's success in the past few years. She's kind of been an ever-present that's been there for what seems like a lot longer than she has. But well done to her. And, of course, the skip, Byron Webster, comes as no surprise. 100 appearances, most of them as skipper. What a fantastic man, what a fantastic leader that we've got, not only in terms of on the field, but off it as well. Acts as a mentor to the younger players, and I think he's going to be a top manager one day. I think that's kind of the career that he's looking to get into, coaching and management, and I think he'd be very, very good at it. But congratulations to them.
And we also handed out a landmark achievement award to Dave Poynting and Steve Payne for 10 years at Bromley FC Women.
Wow, 10 years of outstanding service from Dave and Steve. Congratulations.
With multiple promotions.
Yes, multiple promotions on their CVs, and two absolute gentlemen who've taken the women's team at this club so far. And it's just a pleasure to be around them. They're a brilliant double act, the two of them. They really, really do bounce off each other really well, and both absolute pleasure to work with. So congratulations to them, and a fully, fully deserved award. And I'm not sure they're expecting it, but they got it. So it's always nice to surprise people, and we're going to get onto another one of those in a minute.
And moving on to the Golden Boot, and I mean, we've got games left, so this was a
technically,
and Michael Cheek, who won it, he did sort of point that out when he accepted it. He was a bit...
He did.
Sort of reluctant to accept it.
Because Adam Marriott could catch him up.
He could. But at the time of the awards, we had to give the award out.
Of course we do. So of course we do. So Michael
Cheek... technically celebrating Michael Cheek's season and what he's done for the club.
Yeah, that's right.
More than actual... He's our top scorer this season.
Which he currently is with 15. Adam Marriott is five behind him on 10, but unfortunately Adam's had a bit of bad luck with injuries. But who knows? Adam could get five tomorrow and in the playoffs. You never know. He's a goal machine.
He is.
So that remains to be seen. But congratulations to Michael Cheek, and it's no real surprise he's picking up another Golden Boot. I've lost count of the amount that we've given him now. And the women's team was an interesting one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit weird. I know... They too were sort of not focusing that much on the Golden Boot, and that's because they've obviously got two games remaining. So they've got three players who are in the running for the Golden Boot.
Terry Almoran is currently in the lead.
Yeah, nine goals.
But I believe is injured. Charlotte Lee and Sylvia Safranovic could still catch them up.
Yeah, Sylvia's got eight goals and Charlotte has got six. So it's tight.
Could be interesting.
But none of them were there on Tuesday.
No, they weren't.
So Matt sort of kept that award to himself.
Well, actually, Nick Robinson, our friend from Shepherd Neem, I said he could keep it. But Nick's a gentleman, and of course he left it behind for the top scorer of the women's team to take at the end of the season. And we look forward to seeing who it is.
Yeah, fair play to all three of them, though.
Yeah, well done to them, definitely, especially in a new division this season.
Yeah.
Next award was?
That was...
Young player
of the season.
So for the women's team,
that was Chris Danzo.
Chris Danzo, congratulations.
Who later went on to win the second award. But she we'll did. Move on to that in a
come
bit.
On to that in a minute.
But the young player of the season for the men's, not a surprise.
No surprise. No prizes for guessing this one. Kellen Fisher. No prizes for guessing that one. An outstanding campaign from the Bromley Academy scholar, who is just growing from strength to strength each week. An outstanding talent, and one I don't think we've ever seen one like him come through. I know we've had players come through that have gone into the Football League, and I think Kellen is the best that we've seen. And
his attitude as well. It's like
he's the model professional and a model person as well, because he's just so humble, so quiet. You'd never hear him.
No.
And he's just... I mean, I know the players all have a great deal of enjoyment playing with him and a great deal of respect. You know, he's done very, very well to absorb all that pressure from playing in front of big crowds, you know, having played, you know, on Wednesdays for the Academy with an empty stadium. He's now playing in front of, you know, 5,000 people at one point. Yeah. So fair play to him. Fully deserved.
Moving on. We're now... on to player's player.
Player's player is quite a coveted one
because
it's what all of them want from their own teammates. And I took the votes via WhatsApp for this one. And there were a few different people in the running, but in the end there was a winner, of course, and that was Omar Shomi. And congratulations to Omar, selected as the player's player of the season. And I know he was very pleased to receive that recognition. And the Man Mountain, as we call him, has been brilliant for Bromley this season. And congratulations.
Yeah, and for the women's team, it was Olivia Woolacott.
And she was very surprised, wasn't she? She didn't expect that one. She came up on stage and he didn't really know what to say. She was lost for words. So
I mean, it must be good to be recognised by
Oh, fantastic. again, it's a prestigious award, and you know that must give a great deal of satisfaction knowing how well liked and respected and rated you are actually by your own team. Congratulations to them both.
And we mentioned a minute ago that Chris Danzo won two awards, so her second award was Chairman's Player of the Season.
And the Chairman's Player of the Year for the men was. We need to get a drum roll soundtrack as well. It was Corey Whiteley. And I'm really pleased for Corey because often his performances go under the radar, but he's such a reliable member of the team. He hardly ever has a bad game or puts a foot wrong. And he's just such a hard worker, such a nice guy. I think he's fully deserving of the award. And I think it's a really good choice from the chairman. And congratulations to Corey. He was very surprised, as we've seen a lot of these award winners feel that way, but also very, very pleased with the award. So congratulations to him.
Cool. Let's move on to the manager's player of the season.
The manager's player of the season.
And for the women's team, it was Ellie Bovill.
Ellie Bovill, congratulations to her. She was, a member of the squad last year as well. Congratulations. Steve was very, very adamant that he was going to pick Ellie. So congratulations to her. And another good season for Ellie Bovill. Well done to her. And for the men?
A second award
for Omar Shomi. Congratulations to him. And again, that appreciation being shown this time, not by the fellow teammates, but by his manager. So absolutely fantastic to see, and well done to him.
Okay, the next one is a bit of a weird one. Not a weird one, but a unique one.
An interesting choice, yeah.
And that is the Outstanding Achievement Award. Matt, would you like to explain?
I would love to explain. Now, there are two gentlemen who have stepped down from their voluntary roles this season or towards the end of this season, and that is John Richardson and Arthur Duplock running the 100 Plus Club. They started it in 2010. It's been going for not far off 13 years now, and they've raised to date just around £60,000 for the club. Wow. Which is outstanding. And they've also created a lot of happy winners. I think I came third or fourth once upon a time. I can't remember when that was. It was so long ago. Absolutely outstanding from John and Arthur. And, this stuff takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes organisation. And, they've both put in time and effort to it. And particularly John, who did the, all the numbers and the draws and the bank details and stuff at home in his spare time. And then, of course, Arthur for supporting him with that. So congratulations to them both. And, well done. Really, really great to see.
And a similar sort of award, but this is the Community Player of the Season.
Yes, so we had the choice from the men's and from the women's team, and the women's team winner was Sophie Peru, who she's fantastic, isn't she, Sophie? She's just such a character, she's brilliant at interviews too, which helps me. She has done so many of our school visits this year, representing the Bromley FC women, giving up her own time throughout her day. She does have another job. Giving up her time to come in and meet the next generation of children and the next generation of players. So well done to her. It's such a well-deserved award, and she's a great ambassador for the women's team.
I remember going to a visit with Andrea, and I think it was Tanya Holly who went with Sophie. And I remember after the talk, they held back the girls' football team and gave them a little, inspirational talk, just that group of girls. So that was, that must have been inspiring for them to hear.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And footballers have such a power to do things like that, and it's great to see them harness that and use it. And the men's community player of the season was Rhys Charles Cook, and it was close this one, but Rhys has appeared at so many of our after-school clubs and soccer camps and various events, and he's always a smiley, happy face. The kids love to see him. They love to ask him questions. He's given away his gloves to kids before and signed them and done all kinds of nice things like that, and he's a top gentleman. So well done to Rhys, fully deserved.
And that's you making up for not giving him the 13th clean sheet.
That is me making up for it because I feel bad now, but I'm not changing my mind.
Okay, I think this is the biggest award, the next one coming up.
I think it is, yeah.
The supporters player of the season.
And to present the biggest award, we had to welcome one of the biggest personalities at the club. I almost felt like saying on the mic, ladies and gentlemen, please stand for Sir Roy Oliver.
He wasn't standing for long, was he?
He wasn't standing for long. We'll come on to that in a minute because the winner was Kellen Fisher. And again, I'm not really surprised given the impact that he's had since he's made his breakthrough into the first team. We saw him at the start of the season play a couple of games here and there, and then he made his real breakthrough in December and just hasn't looked back. Outstanding.
I can now give everyone a podcast exclusive, and that is the two players that were close to Kellen Fisher for the supporters' player of the season. And that is...
I don't even know this.
Reece Charles Cook and Omar Shomi.
Wow.
So, but Kellen flew away with it. So,
well done to Kellen, and brilliant to see. Although it wasn't brilliant to see Roy kind of stack it off the stage, and I know he had a laugh about it afterwards, and that I wouldn't say it if he'd have been hurt, because he wasn't. But he caught himself quite well, and actually, to be fair, Omar Shomi must have been watching Reece Charles Cook, because he jumped into action to hold on to Roy and make sure he stayed on his feet. And then Roy was able to have a photo with Kellen Fisher presenting that award. And just a big shout out to everyone who came along to the awards evening for making it such a wonderful evening. The feedback on it overall was brilliant, and the food and the quality of that. So, yeah, well done to all involved, I think.
Yeah, really good night. It was good seeing all the photos as well. So
absolutely.
Brilliant. But speaking of Roy...
Talking of the devil, talking of Sir Roy, I should say, here is the weekly segment that we love so much. It's Roy Remembers. Roy Oliver, welcome back to Ravens Weekly. You're part of the furniture here now.
I know.
It's brilliant. Well, you've always been part of the furniture at the club, but on Ravens Weekly, you are now very much part of the furniture. You've given us some brilliant stories over the past few weeks. What have you got lined up for us today?
I'm talking about our legendary centre forward, Mr. George Brown.
Oh, very much a legend.
I knew very well personally, and the guy was tremendous.
Well, Roy, the floor is yours, as they say. Take it away.
Right. Well, today's talk is about the great George Brown, who played for Bromley in 1936. He was a youngster at Charlton, but he was loaned out to Bromley, and we basically kept him after that. So he played in the 1938 Amateur Final, which was played at Millwall, and they played Erith and Belvedere, and they won 1-0. It's the only All-Kent Amateur Cup Final, which is the forerunner of the FA Trophy, which we play for now. So he played for Bromley right up to the war years, and then he was in national service in the war years. And then after the war, he came back to Bromley. He also won an Amateur Cup medal in 1949, which was played at Wembley. He also played for Kent. He also played for the Athenian League, the Isthmian League, London, Southern Counties, and he's an amateur international as well. He scored over 800 goals in his time at Bromley, and it culminated him over 1,000 games in his career. It culminated him in scoring 500 post-war goals, but in 48-49 he scored 100 goals. And the year before he scored 99, and the year before at 75. I'll give you one example. In 48-49, we played Redhill Christmas Day and Boxing Day, home and away. The aggregate was 13-0, and George Brown scored 11 of them. If you see his career record, the goals per game, it's fives and sixes and fours. Well, new tons of hat-tricks he scored throughout his career. He was quite a powerful man, and he could shoot with either foot and a bullet head. I mean, you can imagine the old footballs, the old leather footballs. If they got wet and muddy, they were like a medicine ball to hit with your head, and to strike it with your foot as well, you know, with the old-fashioned football boots they used to wear then. But yeah, he was a very good friend of mine. One interesting story, we played a few years ago. I went to work on the council, and of course George used to work, his wife used to work for Dura Laundry, which was down by Lower Gravel Road in Bromley. And George used to pick her up every day. And then I left there to work on the council, and then lo and behold, George came on there as a, it was work study, time and motion. So I used to talk to George practically every day. Went up his house many times, see his trophy cabinet, it was phenomenal, you know, all these medals that he'd won and representative honours, and got top goal scorer every year. He finished playing about 1956. He was such a nice guy, but amongst he always said to me, I'm a family man. I had a chance of going for a big club, but he said I didn't want it. I didn't want to go traipsing around, you know, my family important. He said, anyway, Bromley looked after me in them days. They always got me a job. But we had one interesting event where we played at Slough one night. And in the programme, it had the late George Brown. So I asked the officials why, and they said they got it from an old Bromley player. So I got took a programme home for George the next day, and went in the yard, and I said, hello, George. I said, you're not meant to be 6 foot under, mate. So he said, oh, can I have that? I've got quite a lot of programmes where I'm 6 foot under. So he said, I'll bring you in something tomorrow. And I thought nothing more of it. And he brought me in the 1938 Amateur Cup Final, which was played at Millwall. So, but I went round his house and he saved every programme that he played in. You know, either for Bromley, if Athenian League, Ishmael League, Kent, Southern Counties, and Amateur International, of course. But wow. Yeah, what a lovely man. So, one last word of him, what I'll say is the most nicest guys I've ever met. He was quite honoured to play for Bromley. It was a lot of hard work in them days. Anyway, that's my talk on George Brown.
Well, Roy, your knowledge never ceases to amaze. That's an incredible story, and you tell it with such passion and remembering it like it was yesterday, really.
Yeah, he was such a lovely guy. He was quite passionate about his football, over sort of 20 years, apart from, obviously the war years when he was in service, like, you know. But in them later years, Bromley had quite a lot of amateur internationals. Obviously, the London Olympics was played in London in 1948. And, of course, they had an amateur football team, all the top players. So do you know who the manager was of that Great Britain side?
Was it you, Roy?
No. It was someone famous. It was Sir Matt Busby.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm lost for words. I really am.
Yeah.
Roy, that was incredible. Thank you so much. Your knowledge is brilliant. I just want to finish up on the point of the awards. And you presented the Supporters Player of the Year, once again, on behalf of Jim Brown this season. And it was Kellen Fisher. Just what do you have to say about Kellen and his performances?
Oh, Kellen is a real bright star, and I think he's got a good future. Hopefully he's at Bromley next year, and then hopefully someone comes in to buy him and treats him well. I've just been reading this morning about, I won't say that at the moment, but clubs look after him. We'll ask for 50 million for him, you know.
That might just cover it. I think we might have to push that up a little bit.
Yeah.
A bit of Roy added tax,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
on that one.
Yeah. But no, he's an extremely nice lad. He's well-grounded. And he's got a bright future. And as I tell all the youngsters down here, I meet a lot of them sometimes waiting for a bus. I said, keep your head to the grindstone. Do everything that you're told to do. And I said, you'll go a long way.
Wise words, Roy, for all of us.
Yeah.
Really, wise words. Thank you so much for joining us again. And just before we finish, Oldham on Saturday.
And then the small matter of the National League playoffs. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, really looking forward to it. I don't think any of them will want to play us. I think this is an open competition now when we get to the playoffs. Because it's over 90 minutes, it's not like a league game where you can lose one, draw one and win one. It's all on the 90 minute or extra time. And I think playing away, which I quite like, because I think there's less pressure on us and we perform better, I think. And Andy Wortman sets the team up to play that way. You know, and I mean, it was brilliant last Saturday as well against Chesterfield.
Well, go on. Sorry, I'll let you
finish. I think we've got a good chance. We're not out of this. We might be the underdogs as far as the pundits are concerned, but I don't think we are. I think we can well hold our own. And our league position, I think, proves that.
Well, Roy, exciting times ahead for sure. Thank you for your time once again. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Matt, Josh.
Okay, and it's time for another segment. It's Community Corner.
Sorry, am I supposed to?
I think you might need to press a button to make the jingle happen. Unfortunately, it doesn't react to my voice yet.
There we go.
One day there might be technology where I can just say that and that will happen. It's Community Corner. Oh, it's a bit early.
I'm just drowning you out.
It's Community Corner. There we go. That's better. And Community Corner this week, we've already mentioned the High Street Fest on Sunday in Bromley High Street. Come on down and see us. Myself and the community team will be there. We'll have merchandise available. We'll have an inflatable shoot goal thing for you to have a go at. And we'll be there to have a chat, which is the most important thing as well. We'll be located outside the old Topshop unit, which is just next to NatWest. And we look forward to seeing some of you there, because we saw a few of you at the last one and it was great to see people. So come along and see us. We also had the community quiz night. We're recording this on the Friday. It was the Thursday, the 27th of April, and another fantastic turnout from everyone. Really, really good to see. Thank you to all of the teams. The winning team in the end was called Fox in the Box. So congratulations to them. I won't name the wooden spoon winners, but we had a joint second place as well. And of course, there are prizes for the top three. So four prizes in the end, plus a wooden spoon, really. But a great night of laughs and enjoyment had by everyone. So,
and thank you to people that offered their feedback after the first one, because I think that helped us going into the second one, didn't it?
It certainly did. It certainly did.
Made it flow a bit more. And obviously, there's things to work on for the next one. I know we're going to be looking at doing a bit of an interval and, you know, having a bit of a break halfway through. And just breaking it up a little bit, but yeah, I think it was a good night overall.
It really, really was, and some interesting questions and some interesting answers and some interesting scores. But the next one is on Thursday, the 25th of May. So do come along and join us for that one. More details on the website. We'd love to see you down for that one as well. Of course, community. Otherwise, we've got our Saturday morning soccer school tomorrow. So if you've got a youngster that would like to come and enjoy learning the beautiful game on our stadium pitch, bring them down. 9 o'clock start tomorrow, and we have sessions for different age groups. So check out bromleyfc.org for more information on those. We are going actually to be having another podcast, aren't we? We're going to be having a community podcast, which is due for release soon. And yeah, it's very exciting because a lot goes on in the Community Trust, and too much really for us to run through in a segment. So we'll always summarise what's going on in a segment on here, but we're going to have a community podcast as well. So really looking forward.
Do we have a name yet?
Hearing that. I'm think Community Corner's got a ring to it.
I know, but we can't have two community corners.
You can have a big community corner and a little community corner.
It's not Britain's Got Talent, Britain's Got More Talent.
Well, it could be. It's worked for them, hasn't it? But anyway, moving on
Got it.
Go on.
Trust Talks.
Trust Talk. I love that.
Trust Talk.
I love that. That is really good.
Oh,
that is really good.
That just now.
Well done, you. You see, you are good. But yeah, let's move on then to Oldham. Now, Oldham Athletic, you wouldn't have predicted earlier in the season, would currently be sat 11th in the table. 10 points behind Bromley on 60 points. They look like, Josh, when we played them here, a team in disarray, and a team that were going to spend the rest of the season fighting relegation.
Yeah, I mean, it's that pattern that Scunthorpe have suffered with this season, which is dropping down from the Football League and then just not having the strength to come back up again. And it's just, it's so weird because obviously Oldham are ex-Premier League as well. It's, yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? But they, to be fair to them, their disappointing start to the season, they have pulled it around and they're now 11th in the table and comfortably safe, and I'm sure will be looking to push on next season. They're also in very good form. They haven't lost in their last five and they have won their last four matches, and they have not conceded a goal in their last four matches. They've had a 2-0 victory over Scunthorpe, 1-0 win over Maidenhead United, 2-0 victory over Southend United, and a 3-0 victory over relegated Yeovil Town.
Good form.
Really good form, and it makes for an interesting game tomorrow. But make no mistake about it, Andy Woodman's going to win, and we're going to hear more about that in a moment. But just for supporters, we mentioned earlier the coach, or coach two, still has spaces available. We're running two supporters coaches to this fixture. Book your place online at bromleyfc.co.uk. You've got until 9 o'clock on Saturday morning to do that. So if you're umming and ahhing, bite the bullet and go and join the coach. It's going to be a good laugh. And of course, tickets are cheaper if booked in advance. So if you are going to the game, book your tickets tonight if you can, as you will save a couple of quid. And on the note of Oldham, who of course we had a 3-0 victory over Hayes Lane earlier this season. That was actually David Unsworth's first game, wasn't it?
It was.
As Oldham Athletic manager. And what a job he's done since then, in fairness to him. He's really turned it around. But it's going to be a very different affair tomorrow at Boundary Park. I'm really looking forward to visiting. Someone else who's looking forward to it is manager Andy Woodman. And here's what he had to say.
Andy, welcome back. Let's start off then by talking not about cocktails and hot dogs this week, but by that win over Chesterfield was phenomenal. Just talk us through how you saw that game.
Well, I saw it 15 seconds in. We could have been 1-0 down. And they come out the blocks really well, I felt. They're a good team, let's be honest. They're a very good team. And I felt we got a little bit spooked early doors. We showed them a bit too much respect. Sat off them a little bit, and they're going to hurt you if you do that. There was a turning point in that match for me where we kind of it sort of shook us up a little bit. The ref didn't give us a corner, which was a clear corner. Everyone in the country would see that's a corner. That's not my gripe with the ref, by the way, because he was honest enough to say, look, I got that wrong. But it was almost like the team weren't accepting that we're going to have any more adversity thrown at us, and they took grip of the game after that. And I felt we was really good then. I felt we was a little bit more aggressive, won more second balls, got higher up the pitch, won our headers, and done all the bits of football that maybe some people don't always think are that important or don't recognise, the dirty parts of football, the non-negotiables, I call them. And once we'd done that, the game sort of flowed a little bit into our rhythm. And I felt, I wouldn't say I felt comfortable, because I don't ever say that against a quality team and a quality manager like Paul Cook, but I felt we was good value for the result and the performance. So I was really chuffed, and chuffed that, you know, it went our way.
And it's crazy how something as small as that, well, potentially not as small as not getting the corner that we should have had, can be like a turning point for the team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it might not have been that, but that was the moment I felt. I there was a little break in play when I had a bit of a couple of words with a couple of players, just to give them a couple of little sort of words of wisdom. But it could have been none of that. We could have just maybe found our second wind and sort of got into the game a little bit. I thought the performance was fantastic right across the pitch. I thought we was very good. We done the right things at the right times. We didn't take risks. And we didn't try overplay, but we also wasn't, you know, one-dimensional. And that's something I like our team to be.
You've brought Billy Bingham back into the fold recently. He's had a bit of a difficult time with an injury of late, and he scored a very special goal to put us on our way to that victory.
Yeah, Billy's a great player, isn't he? And he was out for, I think, 7 weeks with an injury, which then we had to act and get a player in because we wasn't sure how he'd come back after that. We brought Ryan Sterkin, who's been immense, Ryan, hasn't he? I mean, let's be honest, I think he's been playing a month for 3 months on the trot or something like that, something ridiculous. So Billy's been kind of looking at me with these sort of like, what's happening? Like, you know, and he's old enough and wise enough to know how football works. But he's been waiting in the wings. And the one thing I'll say about Billy Bingham is he's professional. He's always ready. He trains properly every day. He will have the hump, and rightly so, because we all want to play. But he conducts all of that energy in the right way. So I had no worries about Billy coming back into the team last week, this week. And for him to get a goal like he got was just brilliant. I was chuffed for him because I've been saying to him he needs to score more goals and add those to his game. But I didn't expect one like that. But it was brilliant. And Billy should be very proud of how he's acted as a professional footballer this year and how he's conducted himself and then how he's played.
Off the field, the Bromley community, if you like, you always say, really came together at the right time. The support on the day was fantastic. Over 3,800 people here. Both during the game, the support was important. And at full time, it was really lovely to see the lap of appreciation from yourself and your players and the supporters really still getting behind the players and encouraging them after that full time whistle.
Yeah, that was a nice moment. I mean, I've said it many times, the Bromley community, the people of Bromley, they come out, they support us when we need them. We'd like them here every week. We'd like to keep growing those numbers. We'd quite like to keep building on what we're doing here. And I think we are. We've just got to make sure we keep this sort of momentum going with our work on the pitch and the community and getting people to want to come here. But their noise in the game was brilliant. And then at the end of the game, the fact that they all really stayed where they'd stood and watched the match and waited for everyone to come round, it was like being, with respect, like being back at a proper big club, like, you know, when we was at Newcastle or Palace or somewhere like that at the end of the season, you walk round, the fans wait. I felt that they felt a sense of being and a sense of a part of something big that's going on here. So that was nice. And we really appreciate their support throughout the year. And they've stayed with us, and that's been brilliant.
Obviously, that win and a couple of results elsewhere meant that we cemented and confirmed our place in the playoffs with a week to spare, which is fantastic. How does that mean you approach this game on Saturday? Is it any different for you?
Yes and no. I mean, I think I'd be wrong to say we're going to approach it exactly the same way. We're going to be full tilt and everything. Because human nature tells you, you know, you can't. We had this with the Wembley thing last year. It was very difficult. So we have to approach it professionally. We have to approach it in the right manner, which we always do. And then we have to really just, you know, make sure we all go out there and give a good account of ourselves and stick to the process of what we're doing. That's the really important thing. We don't come away as a group of players from what we've been doing. You know, whether I leave a player out or someone's injured or someone's rested, the next player that comes into the team, we've got to be confident that he can stick to the process and the plan that we put in place and that we have put in place. Because it's important, you know, we haven't got a squad of 28 players, 30 players. We've got a squad of probably 16. So there won't be that many changes. If I was going to make any changes, we just can't do it. So I haven't really, you might be surprised to know that I haven't really overthought it, to be honest, because I was with a Premiership manager, not name dropping, but he was here at the weekend, and he gave me a good bit of advice of just like, just don't overthink it, just keep doing what you're doing, you know, just don't overthink what you're doing. So we haven't done that really. We've just tried to keep everything as you've seen around the place. It's just been as normal as ever. We know it's a big game coming up after the weekend. We know we've got to get through the weekend. So we'll just keep going about our business and hopefully keep going under the radar, because we still seem like we're under the radar. I haven't heard anyone mention us. It's been brilliant. I've done something for London Radio the other night and no one still mentions us. It's brilliant. I love it because I think that suits us.
Well, it is incredible, isn't it? But what also is crazy is we've spoken already, you and I, before this conversation about the logistical things around the playoffs next week. And actually, we're going into this Saturday not knowing what day we're playing next week and not knowing who we're playing.
Yeah, and I think I kind of said to you, you know, let's just worry about it after the weekend. I mean, you know, the one thing I think you've got to be always very mindful and careful of is if you start prepping and planning before you've got to that week and then you start thinking that far ahead, you're not going to be in a good place, I don't think. So I think we should just, you know, go about like we have all season, really. We'll have one eye on what we're doing next week to a degree. But let's get this game out of the way Saturday, and then it will be in here Sunday, ready like we always are for a midweek game. Whoever it will be, you know, we'll know Sunday morning or Saturday night who it will be, so we'll start prepping then. Listen, we've got a really hard game away to Oldham first, and that will be a very tough game. I think the most important thing is that when we get to Sunday morning, we've got as many fit players to choose from. That's the really important message that I would say to anybody. We want, when we went to Wembley last year, we wanted to have a full squad of players to choose from, and if we can get that number up so everyone's back fit, that can only be a benefit to us.
We hosted the awards evening here on Tuesday, which was a fantastic evening and great to see players from across the women's and men's team and people that have been around the club for a long time or achieved certain things here receive some plaudits and you yourself obviously presented an award as well. But great to see all the players engaging with the fans as well on the night. It was just nice overall, wasn't it?
It was a really nice evening. And do you know what I really liked about it? I've been banging the drum about this group of players for the whole season. I've said it beginning of the season, mid-season, numerous times. We have got such a brilliant group of players. Honest, polite, hard-working, good human beings. And what I really loved the other night, I saw pretty much two players on every table with supporters or sponsors. And all I've had people come up to me after and since, even just now, your players are such a credit to you and the football club. And I think we can get caught up in this world of we want to be the best footballers and we want to be this. Let's just be good, kind human beings. And that made me really proud that they conduct themselves properly, which they always do. And people coming back to me saying, what a, you know, real nice bunch of players. And that I've been saying all year. When they cross the white line, they're different. There's no doubt about that. That's what I want them to be. We have an edge. We have a cutting edge. And we have a will to win and will to work hard. But that was nice to hear that. And the fans were brilliant, wasn't they, the other night? It was a really nice evening.
You attended with members of your family and you were sat on a table actually with the sponsors of the night, Shepherd Neame, and actually Nick from Shepherd Neame, who's been a partner of the club for many years. You've actually known for quite a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's a real bizarre twist of fate, really. Nick's been a friend and lives in my village. I mean, I must have known Nick for 20 years. I think I've lived in the village for 20 years. I've known him through various people, got to know Nick. My daughter, who's got the dog groomers in Wallingham, she cuts his dogs. So when I come to the club and Shepherd Neame and Nick's doing the beer here and the sponsorship here, it's just been an add-on, really. And Nick was really kind enough and Shepherd Neame were really kind enough to invite my family because he knows how much my family means to me and how much support they give me. We had a nice family night, to be honest. The only one that didn't come was Fred. It was nice. And I must shout out to Nick and Shepherd Neame. They've been really big backers of this football club. I'll be first to thank them for that. And they've been really good friends to me, Nick has, and Shepherd and Neame, you know, for inviting my family. Thank you very much. We had a fantastic night.
Final word on the supporters ahead of these next games coming up. First supporters coach sold out on Saturday. Second one, final few spaces left. It's going to be vocal backing on Saturday. And then they're going to be so important, whoever we're playing next week.
Yeah, I mean, we thank you, as always, and safe trip. And hope you come in your numbers and your singing voices are there. Enjoy the Saturday game, because if nothing else, we haven't got to really panic about Saturday like we normally do every week. Let's get as many people to whatever game we're going to play. I don't know who it is, and get right behind this team, like you have done all season. You know, we're going to need you as our 12th man. And as I said to you the other night, he was brilliant. And if you can all grab a friend and bring a friend or a neighbour or someone else to talk them down to come and support us on these games, brilliant. It'll just add to the atmosphere and hopefully it'll introduce another supporter to our football club.
Addy, thanks for your time. Best of luck for the next games.
Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure to sit down with Andy and get his insight on things. I think the way he looks at things is really, really interesting. Yeah. He always does it in a light-hearted way. It's just such a pleasure to sit in here with him. And he opens up, doesn't he? All the players open up. Everyone opens up when they come on the podcast. So, no, it's really, really great. Thank you to Andy, as always, for giving up his time to speak to us. That's it from us. Yeah. And it's a last podcast of the regular season. We'll be back next week for a review of the midweek playoff game.
Will we play?
We still don't know who we're going to play.
Or what day.
Yes, we don't even know what day.
It's a nightmare.
It's a bit of a nightmare when you're trying to arrange everything, which has not been easy, let me tell you.
I mean, if you look at it, are we going to be playing Chesterfield? Probably not.
So it's more likely to be Woking or Barnet, isn't it?
It's quite a local one, so... But you never know, do you? I personally think it'll be Barnet. I think we'll win Saturday and play Barnet.
That's what my gut says.
But you don't know, because obviously...
Anything can happen.
If we lose, Bournemouth win, we swap places. And
we do. Then we've got a trip to Woking.
Woking and Chesterfield could swap places. It's just...
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that in mind, we'll be on the commentary tomorrow, away to Oldham. If you're unable to join us, you can join us at Bromley FC Live over on Mixlr. The match will be shown live in Brimfield's Bar and Kitchen if you'd like to come down and give that a watch. It's a fantastic initiative being launched by the club there to the supporters who can't make the trips. And of course, if you can make the trip, get yourself on the coach. You've got until 9 o'clock on Saturday morning to book it. It's a £30 return and a 10:30 a.m. depart. Remember that kickoff is at 5:30. And we'll sign off this podcast by reminding you to get your club membership for next season. Whilst the brilliant lower prices, the early prices, are in operation, remember that they will go up if Bromley are promoted on the 13th of May or otherwise on the 1st of June at 5 o'clock. Josh, thank you for joining me once more.
That's fine.
Thank you to everyone else for listening and for putting up with us once more. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, up the Brom.
Up the Brom. You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.